You know that feeling when a song comes on and it's so good that it feels like you're frozen in time? Well, that's what my podcast In My Tracks is all about. The songs that stopped me in my tracks. I'm your host, Jada Burt, and I have revealing conversations with musicians about their creative challenges, mental health struggles, and the economic realities they're facing as independent artists today. And you discover your new favorite songs. Tune into In My Tracks everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What is up, y'all? This is your girl, Scarlett, a.k.a. Scardi B, a.k.a. your resident emo historian. And join me as we unpack the history of Fall Out Boy and hip-hop. Look, y'all, we got a lot to cover in this podcast, so strap on in, because, sugar, we're going in. What is up, y'all? It is your girl, Scardi B, here for Sugar We're Going In. Welcome to season two. Thank y'all so much for the love on the last show. I'm getting back on the tracks, y'all. I'm getting this going. It's hard after like a long break to then just come down and have to talk to yourself for hours at a time. But I'm getting into it. But like any good routine, I'm getting into it in a healthy way. I used to just be super. I mean, I just have ADHD, so I just get hyped. Focused, and now I'm just learning the balance between research and recording these. And I know y'all won't mind just a little wait sometimes in between shows, because it's about the quality, okay? And if I can't give quality, I don't want to give it, you know what I'm saying? But this is a super exciting time because I get to talk about these next 4 to 5, maybe 6 or 7 episodes about Patrick, about Trant Wave, about Soul Punk. I'm going to be talking to a couple of people that opened for him during these times, and you're going to even hear an interview with me and Patrick back in 2011, 14 years ago, when I got to interview him, and it was, he was way too kind with his time, and it was just, you'll hear baby Scardi, you know, you'll hear just a very budding, fresh, green journalist, speaking to her favorite person, and absolutely bombing, so that's for y'all, you know, this is the growth we want to see, right? Anyway, Jesus Christ. Anyway, but when we last left off on the actual episode, we had discussed the start of Fall Out Boy's hiatus. Sad. You know, everybody cried. It was terrible. I mean, it was terrible not knowing what was going to happen. But now that we know, you know, it was good. Just to quickly recap, if you haven't listened to the last episode, I mean, first of all, what the fuck are you doing? But second of all, just a quick recap. This hiatus had our guitarist Joe Troman and drummer Andy Hurley working with the Damn Things, and our bassist Pete Wentz working with BB Rexha on a project called Black Cards. Now, despite the band members obviously exploring these different paths, these different genres, they continue to support each other. That was the most important part, and that's what we wanted to see, okay? So here is a quote from Pete back in 2011 from a HuffPost interview on that. He goes, "I think allowing ourselves to go down different paths and experience things that we wondered what if has been an experience that has been really important for all of our friendships, and especially for Patrick and my friendship. I mean, I think that him getting out everything creative that he was never really able to do with Fall Out Boy has been a great experience for him. We love a supportive bestie. Yes, Wentz, love it. And that he did. We see Patrick take on a very, very special era in his career, in his trajectory, just as his journey as an artist. I'm sure there are mixed feelings about this record, as if, you know, something you put out, you know, what feels like 3 lifetimes ago is being talked about. So I will fully take that into consideration, you know, when talking about this. But I think personally it was a very special time, and just shit that bangs today, and we'll talk through it, okay? Look, let's be super real. Nobody took more advantage of the hiatus than Patrick Stump, who promptly launched a YouTube channel and a Vine account. Y'all remember Vine? He was on that, John. And these accounts were to document his journey into solodom, to create content. And he explored his artistry and what was to come through covers and medleys. Look, you just had to be there. Like, understand that 2011 was just like flash mobs and mashups and dressing like we were going to a job interview at the club. We were in blazers and flats and ties at the club. Like, these covers are fucking wild that we're about to talk about. And I don't even know where to start. So I think I just need to actually start. Like, do I play these? I think so. I am crying, sweating, salivating, thinking about them. I was glued, sat, gagged, and gooped when these came out. And some of these mashups and medleys that we got to experience was a Kanye one, which included Power, Gold Digger, Heartless, Izzo, Knock You Down, Twista, All of the Lights, Stronger, Flashing Lights, Through the Wire, Runaway. He also played All of the Lights live with his band when he would perform. There was a Green Light John Legend cover. There was a New Jack Swing medley. Why am I clapping? I'm literally clapping about this. There was an acapella Michael Jackson medley, and there was a Grammy nominee medley, which has one 1.1 million views on YouTube right now. I know that's right, Patrick. I know that's right. You better get that monetization. I do think I need to play a bit, if not all, of this Kanye medley. Again, this was obviously before Kanye became 2020 through now Kanye. But please enjoy this medley.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it, doing better than anybody you ever seen do it. Screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero needs his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tipping, I'm tipping off the power. But she ain't messing with no bro. She was forced to buy a shorty tight girl with the money. She went to the doctor, got light bulb with the money. She walking around looking like my girl with the money. You should have got a shirt, got gold for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup, yeah. Something that you need to have, cause when she leave your ass, you gonna need in the night, even talk. Go to story. Somewhere far alone is from lost soul, or to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? Yeah. How could you be so heartless?
Fall that you So I think it's time for us to have a toast. Let's have a toast to the douchebag. Let's have a toast for the asshole. Let's have a toast to the scumbag. Everyone in the I know. Let's have a toast for the jerk-offs that'll never take a word more. Baby, I gotta run away as fast as you can.
During this time, Patrick was still venturing into hip-hop production and collaborations, collaborating with rappers like XV and MERS. On The Last Hero, him and XV did a collaboration. I think it sounds really good. Here's a little clippy doodle of what that sounds like.
This you're gonna go blind. This is the last time that there'll be your last time. After this, nothing will rhyme.
Additionally, Patrick had his hand in production and singing on the hook of Bummed Out Blues by MERS. He discussed these collaborations on the Hype Man podcast, an episode that you cannot find on the internet anymore, but I has it for y'all, emphasizing how working with hip-hop artists allowed him to really push his creative boundaries and how much more of it that he wanted to do.
Recently, I know you started your solo record, but before that, you had worked with Merce, who's a friend of the podcast.
Yeah. Merce and I have been talking for a while about doing a full record together, either an album or EP or something. We've been really, and it's one of these things that's kind of been on the back burner for a while because he's had a couple projects since then, and I've had obviously a lot going on. I basically shut down everything, but we got one song out.
Yeah, I hope we could. Can we play it, Jeff?
Yeah.
This song's called Bummed Out Blues, and it's actually you and Merce from California fame. It was in The Living Legends, and he's been in so many things, and Felt, and so many on Def Jux, and so many things. So this was a collaboration in a sense that I think you had played him the beat, and then he took it home and he rapped over it.
He took it. He ran with it.
That's so great.
Did you have the chorus pre-recorded before you gave it to him?
I actually had I had pretty much everything recorded except for verses, and it was one of these things where it was really natural. I sent him over, you know, 10 songs or something, and that was just the one that got him moving, and he tracked it in a couple of days or something like that.
Wow.
You know, he had it ready, so.
Wow. Yeah.
Good song. Let's listen to it for a second.
But it falls on deaf ears. It seems like the blues are getting all of my best years. Tears fall on hard times. It don't make them soft. I twist up a two-step, hoping I can shuffle them off.
Shuffle with your left, shuffle with your right. Shuffle with your left, shuffle with your right. Shuffle with your left, shuffle with your right. Would you shuffle with your left, shuffle with your right?
I'm born again. I always seem to find myself here. Oh, oh.
Now, with a tiny bit of like context and backtracking that I'm giving you, today is really about diving into this pivotal moment in 2011 for me, for Fall Out Boy fans, but mostly Patrick Stump fans, his 2011 solo EP, Truant Wave. We're going to talk about how it connects to hip hop, R&B, and his evolution as an artist beyond Fall Out Boy, but also how it informs a lot of what we hear moving forward from Fall Out Boy. Okay, so imagine this. Patrick makes his debut as a solo act at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, at this showcase. People reportedly mistook him for the tech guy rather than the actual performer. And what's crazy is that then he then, in our interview later, tells a story about that tech guy. Basically, fuck that tech guy. But anyway, once he took the stage, it became something super clear that this was entirely different from the Patrick that a lot of the audience knew or thought they were getting into. Now, Truant Wave was released February 22nd, 2011, and it wasn't like a traditional debut. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a way to introduce like the world of Patrick's experimental sounds before he dropped his actual full-length Soul Punk. But unlike Soul Punk, which leaned like heavily into like Prince and the Minneapolis sound and Michael Jackson influences, like, Truant Wave blended multiple genres, particularly hip-hop and electronic music through synths. I hear some Moogs in there. That really gave, again, a new texture onto what to expect. Personally, I loved it. Aside, because you know I'm the queen of aside dumb, okay? Did you know that during this time, Patrick was also writing for Bruno Mars and even toured with him? Like, this further cemented his connection into, like, pop and R&B world, like, really showcasing his, like, versatility and ability to write across genres and, again, perform across genres. Like I really think about the fact that, like, there's this photo of Bruno Mars being, like, surprised and excited to see Pete Wentz, and then later he ends up working with Patrick. Like, I mean, again, like, the music industry, the top of the music industry is the size of a thumbnail. Everybody knows each other. We know this, but I think it was just very funny how life worked out. If and when you listen to Truant Wave, because you should, because it's amazing, one thing is immediately clear. This is not Fall Out Boy. You know, instead of, like, these pop punk anthems that, like, Fall Out Boy was known for, like, Patrick carefully crafted these tracks with, like, a funk-inspired bass lines, like, really sharp drum machines, and, like, smooth, layered harmonies and vocals. He obviously drew influence from people like Prince, Jamiroquai. Yeah, I definitely hear some JK in there, and Michael Jackson. All this while still incorporating hip-hop production techniques, you know, within, again, the drum machines, and I hear it a lot in the synths. But, like, again, Truant Wave wasn't just a side project. Like, it was a statement. Like, it was released with, like, no promotion, and it was independently released under his own label, Nervous Breakdance Media, and the EP showcased just Patrick's desire to step outside of these expectations and of what people, you know, think that he should be. In true hip-hop fashion, he enlisted a handful of collaborators to bring his vision to life. And it also happened to just come out in such a moment in my life, like a big breakup, a whole world out there and just like too mentally unwell to make the most of it. Like I was like a burnt out, gifted and talented student. I was a budding journalist and a broadcaster who had spent the last 4 years of my life living like I was an almost famous, like interviewing artists, listening parties, concerts. And that's all I knew and all I wanted to know. And this music and his project came out in such an inspiring time that really made me very confident and badass and just seen in a way, again, that just like completely changed the trajectory of my life. Whether directly or indirectly. Anyway, let's get back into this project. This track list for Toronto Wave was short and sweet, just like Patrick, and featured some really, really heavy hitters and some really fantastic tracks that I really enjoyed. But again, I feel like I'm very biased, but like, in a world where like you feel like, oh, because you were a Fall Out Boy fan, like, of course you like this stuff. No, because there were plenty of people who did not like Patrick's solo stuff, who would go to the shows to tell him how much they don't like his solo stuff. And I bet you the man would take money out of his own pocket to just be like, well, here's your $2 back from iTunes. Like, thank you for trying it. Like, it was just so simpatico with like what I grew up listening to. Like, there has to be, and I swear I'm gonna get back to the track list in a second, but there has to be a pipeline between being a Dominican and like growing up with like big band music to then what you like now, like with the Minneapolis sound and big trumpets and like big bands. Like, the pipeline is there somewhere. And when it hit me, like, it hit me hard. Like, this is why I fucking love this shit. But anyway, let's get back. Porcelain featuring rapper Alphabet is how we start the project. Alphabet was an independent LA rapper who caught Patrick's attention by handing out CDs on the streets. The hustle, the grind. And of course, Patrick, being the most polite Midwesterner in the world, not only listened to it, but reached back out to collaborate. And I think Alphabet's verse is perfectly, like, it just perfectly complements the track's like atmosphere and the synths and the pulse and the energy. Here's his verse real quick.
You're a superhero who might look up to from afar, cause you're of a whole other galaxy. I know you might find this shit so bizarre. I'd rather we never have to meet, have to speak. I think I know who you are in my imagination, not too sure about reality. You're a superstar, with that glow one has to be, but you come across better in the magazines. Shine much more on the plasma screen. Now if that don't wake me like a bad dream, sad scene like Mufasa in that stampede. Exactly why this calls for my evacuation. Before this conversation paints the picture that my mind has painted, faded. Cause it could get complicated to recognize your idols, your painted. Idols painted. Damn, is that a facelift? Guess you look better famous.
I just find it interesting. And again, please slap my hand if I'm reaching, just let me know. But starting an EP as a solo artist with a song like Porcelain is very intentional, and just warning about the realities of what he maybe thinks about himself versus what people think of him. He writes a lot in character, and I get that, but I think there's definitely a connection there. And Patrick himself has always been very vocal about not wanting to meet any of his idols, and within good reason. Like, you can't find out they're the worst if all you have is what they made and show you. And that's, honestly, I respect that. Like, artists don't owe a shit, but getting to know them has been a parasocial part of social media and growth and promotion, and something that so many of these artists go through. And 2011 was kind of like the slope upwards of Twitter becoming, you know, a lot more of a formative place for people to promote and artists to talk to their fans. So I thought it was very poignant for a EP to start with a song about pretty much like, I don't know what you heard about me, but you can't get a dollar out of me. Cause I'm a motherfucking PM. I'm kidding. But a song about like, I don't know who you think I am, but this is why it's a cautionary tale. And funny enough, just bringing it full circle, like, this was actually the time Patrick and I got to know each other more. And it was like the opposite experience. I found out that someone I've admired for so long is actually even kinder, talented, and giving far beyond what I could have ever asked for. Like, helpful is not the word to even start describing it. Like, I know he would say different, but that is, but such as being a humble human. Look, nobody is perfect, including him or me, but maybe this EP is. I might have to say that. It's a tenor. It's a tenor for me. And again, this EP just kicked off like a couple of cool journeys of self-discovery, travel, and a whole lot of art for me. So I am very nostalgic right now. And speaking of nostalgia, the next track on the EP is Spotlight, Oh Nostalgia, which is a very reflective track. And this is the version that made it on the EP. And there is another version that made it on Soul Punk later on, but just like, you know, hand in hand, like both Porcelain and Spotlight felt like a personal attack. I'm not gonna fucking lie, like two sides of an all too real coin for me at the moment, but I digress. If you saw Fall Out Boy tour the last couple years, you might have been so lucky to hear during the piano medley Patrick play something like Spotlight or Ally, or I think he played Run Dry, but Spotlight was definitely a very, very close one, near and dear to his heart and our hearts, and hearing him sing it live after all these years was, oh, right in the heart. Coming up third is Cute Girls featuring Omos Keith. Now, Omos Keith, let's talk about Omos. A legendary figure in hip-hop production, contributed to Truant Wave. Like, as a member of the production collective, Sa Ra Creative Partners, like, Omos had worked with artists like Erykah Badu, Dr. Dre, and later even played a key role in producing Frank Ocean's Channel Orange and Blonde. Like, his influence in, like, the alternative and experimental hip-hop space, like, made him a perfect collaborator for Patrick. Like, he was bringing like this futuristic, like left field energy to Truant Wave that like blended so seamlessly with Patrick's like very electric style, like both visually and audibly. But Omos Keith also opened up for Patrick at his 2011 residency shows in New York. Next episode, we'll actually have Peter from Ride in Paris to also talk about opening for Patrick during this New York residency. It was like April 9th to the 11th, and it was the best 3 days of my life. And plus, like, please, let's just listen to like this R&B ass laugh that Patrick hits us with at the end. Girls. Goodbye, thank you, Jesus. Like, Cute Girls was a hitter. And again, this is a song in character. So please, grain of salt, art is art. Separate the tar from the TARDIS. You know what I'm saying? But fourth is Love, Selfish Love. And it's like this sleek, stripped down, like R&B inspired track. And has what is quite possibly the best lyric. Please just listen to this lyric. And most importantly, the delivery. Fifth on Truant Wave is As Long As I'm Getting Paid. It's just like this very tongue-in-cheek anthem about just disillusionment and like the industry and basically what it feels like to just dance for these executives and try and get a fucking bone for like making art. Like, it's hard out here, and sometimes it's just about also being as direct and open as possible about it. Finally, Truant Wave closes out with Big Hype featuring DA of Chester French and Driss. Okay, we're going to talk about it give me a second, okay? D.A. Walsh of Chester French, he was more in like the indie pop space, but they had very strong hip hop connections. Like they had worked with Pharrell, and they even signed to like Star Trek Entertainment. And like his involvement with Truant Wave like speaks to how Patrick was like positioning himself with like broader, more like eclectic musical space that like overlapped with hip hop culture. It was always going to do that. Clinton Sparks even spoke about Chester French being the first indie rockers to do a mixtape in our interview last year. He was like, yo, like Fall Out Boy doing like, you know, this Welcome to the New Administration John was cool, but Chester French did it first. So good for you, DA. And then I know Max Drummy of Chester French also toured with Patrick. We'll talk about Patrick's touring band in a later episode. It's going to be dedicated to someone. So I'm working a little extra diligently on it. And finally, is Idris Elba. Yes, that Idris Elba. While most people know him as an actor from The Wire, Luther, and obviously later Fast and the Furious, like Idris Elba has long ties to music, okay? He's a DJ, a rapper, and a producer, and he had already released projects as a musical artist before collaborating with Patrick. His spoken word feature on Big Hype like adds this like big unexpected but like very welcome texture to the song, and it showcases his deep voice and his just very 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 sexy Idris delivery of it all. Like let's just listen to this beautiful bridge on the track Big Hype. Y'all, I have some crazy, crazy news for you, okay? Like, Idris Elba on this track, incredible, amazing, what the fuck? But let's talk about a collaboration and a couple of collaborations that didn't happen. And let's specifically start with Big Hype. Did you know that Nicki Minaj was supposed to be on Big Hype? No. Nicki Monica Lewinsky Minaj, okay? Did I lie, Nicki Minaj? Like, so apparently Patrick was asked back in February of 2011 about like working with her, like, would you ever? And he replies on Twitter, he goes, I would do that in a damn second. I asked her to do Big Hype. She said yes, but schedules conflicted. I need to compose myself. That would have been so incredible. And Patrick had originally discussed also working with Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, as you may know him, but like I knew him from like back in like the camp days and Freaks and Geeks days. Like apparently in another tweet, Patrick had, you know, discussed that he actually wanted him to be on a track for Truant Wave. I wonder what that track would have been. It could have been Porcelain. I could have really heard him riding on that beat, but the world will never know. But like both of these acts were like just huge rising stars in 2011. Like again, while these features like didn't end up happening, it's fascinating, huh? Okay, like just imagining how they could have shaped the EP sound. Like Childish Gambino, like who was blending a lot of indie and hip-hop at the time, and actually name drops Pete Wentz in his song Kids off of Camp, saying, and if Pete Wentz goes both ways, anyway, I digress. They would have just really matched Patrick's like fusion of styles, and like while Nicki Minaj, who had just released Pink Friday, like would have brought like this huge like just feminine energy to the project. And unfortunately, like again, these collaborations remained just like undone. But they highlight just how ambitious Truant Wave really was. But it is what it is. Another in the depths of like collaborations in Truant Wave was really one of its supporting engineers, Sid, known at the time for her work with Odd Future. Syd, like she was later known as the front woman to the internet, was just beginning to make a name for herself in 2011, working with Omos. As Odd Future's in-house engineer, she was like really shaping sonically the identity of one of the most disruptive fucking hip-hop crews of the decade. Like, you couldn't move without hearing Goblin. Like, you couldn't move without hearing Tyler, the Creator somewhere. And working on Truant Wave was like an early but crucial moment in her career, showcasing her versatility and engineering across genres. Like, as we know now, like, Syd would go on to become a groundbreaking fucking artist on her own right, blending R&B, soul, and alternative sounds in a way that mirrored Patrick's own genre blending tendencies. Like, it's no surprise that I loved her solo album. If you could listen to a track, start with No, K-N-O-W, that's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Syd song, and is just so beautifully produced and mixed. But really, if you like Truant Wave, you'll love Syd's music. Patrick has always been a hip-hop fan. We know this. And it shows in his rhythm-heavy, like, songwriting and production choices and delivery choices. But rather than blending in an aggressive way, like, he took a way more, like, subtle approach. Like, he worked on incorporating soul and funk and all these electronic elements that made this crossover, quote and unquote, I'm holding up my fucking quotes, feel natural. He spoke with Rolling Stone in 2011 on his love of hip hop and how hip hop production influences what he made with Truant Wave as well as Soul Punk.
One of the things on this record, again, like I was saying the second time around when I had more of a plan of what to do, I really wanted to emulate a lot of really ornate hip-hop production, drum stuff, whatever, you know, kind of like 90s Timbaland stuff. I really like that level of syncopation, but you can't play that. You can't actually play that, like, whatever. It's all programmed, usually. So one of the things I wanted to do was play it. But that meant that rather than sitting at a kit and playing a lot of these things, I had to go one at a time, you know, and do my bass drum rhythm and my weird hi-hat rhythm. And so I would have to sequence that initially to start, and then I would have I like a lot of program synths. I don't really like to play a lot of synthesizer. So, and there's a certain degree of program synthesizer on a lot of this record. So, those would be usually the bed, and then over all of that would be where, you know, the guitar and the bass and my horns and my you know, and analog keyboards or something, or you know, pianos and that kind of stuff would come in. So. But usually drums and keyboards is where it started.
If and when we zoom out, Truant Wave was like this key moment in the larger story of Fall Out Boy's relationship with hip hop. And Patrick, he was leading the charge and wasn't afraid to push back against these expectations. He was creating what he wanted to create. And he knew fans might be looking for like this, take this to your grave, like 2.0. And that just wasn't what he was giving. And that's okay. This really meant a lot to him to be able to put it out. And again, just looking back, like, it was a super bold move. Now, Truant Wave debuted at number 67 on the Billboard 200, number 7 on the Independent Albums chart, and even hit number 4 on the UK Independent Breakers chart. And for a surprise drop with like no promotion, that's impressive. Now, Truant Wave again was a gift to us ahead of Soul Punk being out. It was just like these songs that didn't exactly fit into the narrative that Soul Punk was giving, but was good enough to get out, and I appreciate it for what it is. Now, Truant Wave didn't end up charting like Soul Punk did, but it's a very critical and crucial part of like Patrick's like evolution as an artist. Like, the hip-hop collaborations, A, proved that he wasn't just a pop punk front man, but like B, like, really proved as he was the person who played each and every note on that album, all the songs, all the lyrics, like everything in between. Like, he was proving that he was a musician who understood the nuances of production, of songwriting, and of this experimentation. Like, in some ways you can even trace like a direct line from Truant Wave to like Fall Out Boy's later collaborations with other hip hop artists. You know, I think about Make America Psycho Again, that remix album where they reworked like American Beauty, American Psycho with rappers like Azealia Banks and Migos. We will 120-130 million% be talking about that. Anyway, but even just more than numbers. Like, this EP solidified Patrick as an artist who wasn't afraid to experiment. It really laid the groundwork for soul punk. And even though that album did not get the mainstream success it deserved, it showed that Patrick wasn't just that guy from Fall Out Boy. He was a musician with range, vision, and a deep understanding of genre fusion, who really gave the flowers to the musicians that came before him, and we hear it so clearly. Truant Wave just, again, set the stage for so much of Fall Out Boy's future. Later on, they would work with artists like Big Sean, 2 Chainz, and even Burna Boy. But a lot of these beats and production that we hear later on is like some of these sonic risks that Patrick took on his solo work. And in many ways, again, like, Truant Wave was this testing ground. It allowed Patrick to like push these boundaries and like refine his production style, like that would later just be such a big part of the sound that we hear later on from Fall Out Boy. And it was a bold move. Like, it may not have been like this chart topping success, but like it was a moment of pure artistic exploration and one that deserves so much more recognition than it gets. But that's what me, Scardi B, is here for. Okay, I'm gonna leave y'all with that, because I can talk about Truant Wave all damn day till the cows come home. But let's wrap it here, because I have so much more to cover. Next time on the podcast, we'll hear from Peter from Riot in Paris, who opened for Patrick during his Truant Wave pre-soul punk residency in New York City, to hear about his journey, about working with Patrick, and about where he is now. So after that, we will talk on soul punk. I'm so excited about soul punk. Obviously, we'll talk all about This City with Lupe Fiasco. And then after that, we'll have Professor M, who opened for Patrick at his like soul punk tour, and actually has a song that samples Pavlov that I hope to get my hands on, that apparently Patrick just cleared right there on the day and performed it. And that's actually how Professor M, who was performing, and me met and became very good friends. So much coming up, as well as the final big shebang is me and Patrick's interview from back in 2011. I'm dreading, cringing, just, I love y'all so much. My shugs, like, this is the only reason it's coming out. But this is a very special time. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed making it. It is a labor of love. And now I need 3 gallons of water and a nap. But until next time, it's your girl, Scarlett, Scardi B. Let's play something. Let's play us out. Bye.
Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. Ready to go right now, yeah. I'm winning this race. Baby, I'm in much
like Medusa staring at me. I told her, let's go this lane to factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comet. I just want you, woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with Pete, the one and only. One thing you ain't considered. I heard you when you told your girl, you can get it. Admit it. You did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding. We both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Ooh, that's a ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robin Gibbons. No, I don't know that lady, so let me quit it. I'm just style freeing, freestyling, which I never do.